that is in Jesus. So have a look again at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. It's all about Christmas. And in verse 4, it says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because Christmas is all about Jesus and about Jesus being a blazing light shining in the darkness of this world. And so we're going to have sort of two things going on this morning. I'm going to be making something here. And you can be in increasing awe and wonder at that. And I'm also going to be explaining everything on the screen. And so I want us to begin with our world. And I want us to begin with the idea that our world is broken. Our world is broken, isn't it? How is it broken? Well, so many ways, really, aren't there? Here's just a few that we might be able to recognize. Disasters. Wars, famines, sadness, loss, pain, injury, awful accidents, death and suffering, viruses, loneliness, and as bright a time of year as everyone tries to make Christmas, and we do try to, there is always a shadow. We'll fall out perhaps with people we love. We might even do that today. Some relationships will end. And it goes on and on. There's a lot of brokenness. We might say there's a lot of garbage in the world and in our lives. But there's also some great things as well. There's some glory along with that garbage. So there's also beauty and majesty and richness and wonder, isn't there? There's awe-inspiring things to see, landscapes, this sort of bewildering imagination that's been expressed in all types of living creatures and organisms and amazing processes in this world. And then there's the brilliance of human beings, us lot, and the immense pleasure of good relationships and joy and love. And so there's such a contrast, isn't there, to all the brokenness of this world and the darkness. But it reminds us that perhaps things weren't always this way. There is still goodness and glory in this world because the way it began was with goodness and glory from the one who is ultimately good and ultimately glorious, the God who made everything, the God who made it good. And the God who made everything and everyone is loving. God is love, he tells us and shows us. And even though the world is broken and we are broken, the fingerprints of God are everywhere. They're all over us. They're all over this world and this universe. They're over everything. As if to remind us all of what we now miss, because the question is, how did we get from all of these amazingly good things and many more besides, this glorious goodness, these wonders, how did we get from there with nothing bad to where we are now, with a whole heap of brokenness and darkness, this garbage? What happened? Well, here's what happened according to God, according to how he tells it to us. People like us, people turned their backs on him. People ran away from him. They rejected him as their rightful ruler, as the one who was the maker of everything. Rejected his ways in favor of their own way, reckoning they could do a better job. Rejecting his goodness, falling out with him, and then falling out with each other in many ways. And that's why the world is broken. God said, that's where you're going, off you go. And we all become aware of that brokenness sooner or later, don't we? Somehow, some way. And here's what we do when we think about it. When we finally understand it's broken and not as good as we hoped, We try all sorts of things to fix our lives in this world. And so up here, there's a number of things we try to fix this world and fix our lives. We pursue money. We think money's going to fix everything. We think it's going to make us happy. Or we pursue power and rule and success and achievement and increasing abilities to control our world by becoming the best or the greatest or the most powerful person, the most influential. We pursue that as if that can fix everything. Or we try and do as many good things as we can. We try and save everyone and save everything. Or we try and live just a healthy life, sustainable and doing my part, and in that way that'll fix everything. But eventually we all come back to this brokenness because none of those things work. Good though some of those things are and can be, they don't fix the problem. None of those things work, and we're just left just down here crying out in the darkness, in the brokenness, on our knees for some light and hope and love because the world is broken. Now, have you felt that? Have you felt the brokenness of this world? Can you see that brokenness as you look around at this world or as you reflect on your lives? What's going on in your world? Can you see it around you? Can you feel it inside of you? Well, the world is broken. But we're going to make something, as I said. And what we're going to make is a thing called a Christingle. Because in 1747, a chap called Johannes de Watteville was sitting by his fire thinking about this thing that he has to do every year at Christmas, which is talk to a load of people about something that they know quite well and try and make it fresh or more memorable or something like that. So here's what he did. He came up with a thing called a Christingle. Okay. So what do you think that is? Boy, if you've had issues wrapping something, try wrapping this. It was rock hard. Here's the world. This is the world. Okay, it looks like a big orange. This is the world. Now, oranges are orange, but what do you think the colour orange could represent? What's the most common use of the colour orange apart from the Dutch soccer team? Anyone know? Shout it out through those masks. Royalty? Warning. Royalty, warning. I think it's warning. Orange flashing lights, orange signs, high vis, warning. It reminds us then, if this is the world, that this world is broken, that there's something wrong. And if we can see its brokenness, then we can see the warning that something needs to change. And as the prophet Isaiah said, and as Dan started our service with, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And John said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. It's talking about this world and something happening to it. Saying that Jesus came into this broken world, born onto a back street, in scandalous circumstances, a seemingly irrelevant couple in some makeshift spot, somewhere out bush, and in the darkness comes Jesus, the light of the world. So we pop a little candle, a big candle in there, and let's light that thing up. Where's my flamethrower? Oh, there we go. Jesus comes in to this world as the light of the world. And what a life he lived as the light blazed from him over the course of that life. Tempted in every way just as we are, but was without sin, didn't give in. Made like us in every way. So he knew weakness. He knew what hard work was. He knew what it was to be dog tired. When he was old enough and he went out publicly proclaiming who he was subjected to the nastiness and rejection every single day of his life of those around him. And yet he met it all with grace and truth and love and kindness and holiness. What a life he lived. And can I say to you, if you haven't checked out the life of Jesus, if that is something you don't know much about, check it out, would you please? It is astonishing. You can read it in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, four biography accounts of his life. Please read it. And what did he then do with that life? He gave it as a ransom. He died on a cross. He was framed. People made up lies about him. And they got rid of him. They had him killed. They murdered him. People who loved the darkness instead of his light, or so it seemed. And so his blood was spilled. But here's the thing. He wasn't dying because of the world, because they had killed him. He was dying for the world, to take away the sin of the world. He died to pay a price that our sin costs and which we could never pay. He died to make a way back to the God who is love for everyone who believes. A way back through the darkness. So this ribbon represents Jesus' blood shed to save the world. And remember in John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life and that life was the light of all mankind. And it sort of burns brightly as you look at it already, but wait for the best of all, because Jesus didn't remain dead. He rose to new life. Death had no hold on him. And the one thing that is guaranteed to come to us all could not hold on to Jesus. His light was far too powerful, far greater than the darkness of death. And that means some astoundingly brilliant things. It means that Jesus is more powerful and more in control than you ever imagined. He beat death for a start, but he made a way back to God and all of his goodness and a whole eternity in the light of his glory rather than darkness. It means that Jesus is the answer to all of those who are crying out as they look at the brokenness of the world around them and the brokenness of their lives inside of them, crying for love and hope and peace and joy, crying for light and life. And those who put their trust in him find all of those things. They find light and life and love and hope and peace and joy. Amazing good things. Now, how can we represent amazing good things? Well, sort of got to be lollies, isn't it, really? So here you go. Make sure they don't burn up. Amazing good things that Jesus brings. Jesus came to this earth. And Jesus is here, really. Because the life he lives has gone on. And because Jesus is here, life is here for the taking, as a gift for you to receive. Will you receive that gift? I mean, this, would you like to receive this? Well, kids, you'll be able to get your own ones over there later. I hope you do. But what it means. Have you received that gift at Christmas time? See, as I finish, let me ask, based on what we've seen, where are you on this slide that we've been making up? Are you running? Are you still running away from God? Are you living life your own way? You think it's going to go better for you if you're in control? Are you so sure that that will end in light and glory and goodness and peace? And will whatever that light is that you're running towards overcome all of the darkness that is around us and the brokenness of this world? Those are the questions for you if you're running. Or are you down here, you on your knees, as you reflect on this world and life, as you have big questions and anxieties and fears about the brokenness that you see and feel? Is that where you are? The garbage of this world has far outweighed the glory that might be around, and you're at the end of yourself and you're crying out for God. The message of Christmas is that God has already answered, hasn't he? God demonstrated his love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. To reconcile you to God, to allow or make it possible for him to fill you and me with his love and his hope and his peace and his joy and his life. And it's there as a gift for you to receive. Reach out to him. See the answer that he's made in Christ. Or are you over here? On the dance floor, as it were, praising, living life, knowing all of these things in increasing measure, the love, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the life because of Jesus. He's not just the light of the world, he's the light of your world. Things are all amazingly transformed because of him. See, this hope that comes from outside our world and our lives, a hope that comes from God, a peace, full of peace your life is now, because you know things as they were meant to be with God. You're right with God and others as well. And there's that utter conviction that whatever faces you in this world, it's going to be okay, because God has got you. Life full of joy, again, not some flyaway vapor, but a deep constant that comes from knowing that you are fully known, and yet you are especially fully loved by none other than God himself. And this life that comes from the love of God, which flows through you to others as you live a life of love. So I've got to say, everyone here this morning, that is a great life that Jesus offers, the life that we can have with him. And it makes all the difference and has done so in so many instances of even those of us here gathered here this morning. Some of us have sort of forgotten that a little bit. Others have moved on to some other thing that we think might be better. But this Christmas time, remember this. Remember Jesus. Remember the life that is only found in him. And you young ones, when you come and grab one of your little Christingles a little bit later at the end of the service, so there you go. What I'd love you to do if you can is whack that on your dinner table today, and when maybe you sit down and say thank you to God for the food, how about you have a go at trying to remember what all those things mean? And see how you go. And then you can test the adults as well. See if they were listening. All right? Okay, let's just pray. Let's ask God to help us think through those things. Father, thank you for Christmas again. So much wrapping and lovely, good, enjoyable layers that we've put around it and on it. So many things we're looking forward to today. But at the heart of it all, there's this burning light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome him. What a wonderful thing for us to build our lives around. What a wonderful person to put our faith and trust in. What wonderful love and hope and peace and joy. What wonderful love and life we can have in you. Father, may each of us here know something more of that today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song about people who are on their knees, praying to God to break into their world. And so let's stay seated to sing the words of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God.